Francisco Coy, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've quickly become one of the leading names in new music, with works being performed by A-listers all over the world. But tell us a bit about your beginnings with music. How did you come to composition?
Well, I studied music when I was around 10 years old. And then my mother bought me like a collection of 50 CDs or something like this. So when I was kind of bored of listening to all these CDs over and over again, I decided to compose the next pieces instead to buy new CDs, you know. I instead to think from the logic and going to the CD shop and buying more CDs. I was just thinking from my artistic side of the brain, I suppose. And then I decided to do something for the first time that I am doing today, that is to write the music that I want to hear. And this is how I started actually improvising, because at the beginning I didn't know how to notate. So I was just improvising over and over the same music. And it was not until 2005, when I was 19, when I wrote actually my Opus One.
Some descriptions of your music I've seen that say it's freewheeling, tangled, deliriously grotesque, kaleidoscopic, terrifying even. How do you describe your music?
I think actually I am very happy when some other people is describing it, because I think they have a better perspective of it. For me, it is a necessity. I write, as I said, I write the music that they want to hear, and somehow I feel connected with this music world that is a kind of refuge, a musical refuge that I create for myself, basically. And I am very happy when other people take it also.
I imagine the process is maybe different all the time, but can you walk us through a little bit of how it begins when you say you get a commission, and you know, how does the idea begin?
It is very different each time I write a new piece, but basically there is something that persists, and it's the fact that I have at the beginning an image of what I want to write. It's not so much about sound, but about visual. And then I write the first draft, the first sketch of the piece quite fast to keep wet this image, you know. And then, of course, afterwards, I am like several years usually returning to the beginning and going into details. Yeah.
And speaking of images, I know that you're also a painter. How did these two modes of expression work together for you?
Well, my father was a frame maker, and he had a small shop in Valencia. So I grew up surrounded by paintings and fine art materials. And soon I started painting and improvising with the instruments that came to my hand. So to be honest, I don't see much difference between painting or composing. For me, to paint and to write music is part of the same process. I usually paint a canvas in parallel of writing a piece of music, and somehow they interact and help each other.
And I understand, actually, recently there was a performance of a work that you wrote for violinist Kopenchinskaya, and that she was wearing a dress that you designed. What was the idea there?
She asked me, you know. She has this crazy idea sometimes. I think she likes what I paint, and she's always very interested and very curious about this part of my activity. So she asked me the possibility of painting the dress for the premiere of the violin concerto in Luxembourg with Gustavo Gimeno. And then I think she liked the dress, and she's wearing it each time she's playing my piece around. So, yeah.
You mentioned Gustavo Gimeno, who's, of course, also the music director of the TSO, who is a big believer in you. Can you tell us a bit more about your relationship with Gustavo?
Yes, well, although Gustavo is from Valencia, the same city where I was born, I met him here in Lucerne, the city where I live with my wife and children. And he was assistant conductor of Claudio Abbado at the Lucerne Festival back in 2013, I think it was. He programmed my music soon after that. And during the last years, I mean, I am doing a very quick resume. During the last years, he commissioned and premiered two big works, including my violin concerto for Kapuscinskaya. We are now very good friends, and I love each time he has one of my scores in his music stand, because he knows very well my music, and every performance is a very special event.
Yeah, I wanted to ask what it's like for you to hear your music back after spending all this time, you know, in a world with these very wet ideas, as you describe, obviously very vivid and very immersed, and then to hear it outside of yourself. What is that like?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful because, as you say, at the beginning, during some years, actually, I took 3 years to write the violin concerto, for instance. So the music was just in my head. Then you have the feeling that it exists, but it doesn't. I mean, it is very strange, the feeling. And then suddenly it is there. And you, it is physically there, you know, and you can share it with the audience and with the people and with orchestra and with conductors. It's very special. It's a very special feeling because it's something very personal, very, very intimate almost. I am naked when I am writing music. I think that's why I feel like no one can be around when I am writing music, for instance. And then when you share it with the audience, with the people, it's something, it's very difficult to describe. It's a very profound and special moment.
Listening to your music, I found it, I guess the word that I would use is very raw. And the idea of extremes, you know, very strong, but I feel that is a rawness. I don't know, what does that come from for you? I mean, as you say, you're naked when you're composing, but what is that rawness?
For me, it's very important that the music is alive, let's say. I don't know. It's very easy to see, but very difficult to describe. For me, music is a kind of material that you can actually get in your hands and play with it. And suddenly this sound is becoming like texture. And suddenly this texture is becoming history. I love, for example, to play with history and to include, let's say, references from the past in my music, because I think when you are dealing with this abstract material that is music, if you introduce these familiar aspects, people has more chances to feel, let's say, at home or to feel like comfortable with a part of the piece, at least to get the rest. You know, I like this balance between something familiar and something more unfamiliar, because I think if you present just unfamiliar things, then the audience can disconnect very quick because they don't understand anything. And if you present only familiar things, then it becomes like superficial somehow. And so the balance between two aspects is the most tricky thing. It's like the challenge for me each time I write a piece. For instance, recently someone from London told me that when he listens to my music, he can see that I don't compose with a piano. And that's also maybe important, that it's true that the music is coming from colors, from texture, from images, from concepts, rather than the physicality of an instrument. When I write music, as I said before, I don't know if I am writing music or painting. Because when you are writing music, somehow you are in another, you are not here. You are in a parallel world or universe, or you are losing a little bit the reality around you. And sometimes I actually apply painting techniques into the composition that I am doing. I feel very comfortable with this. And I think it is also a very good way to get distance with the fact that I am a composer. I mean, I try to not think as a composer when I compose, because it's the only way that I have found to do something that is not repeating what other people does.
Tell us about the work that the TSO is going to premiere, Elysian.
Yes, it's very exciting that the date is coming next month already. I started writing the first notes of Elysian back in the early days of 2020. And from the beginning, I thought of Elysian as the portrait of a city, a kind of city world, you know, this concept of a city like an entire world by itself, with its dynamism, the angular layout of their streets, and the spectacle of its citizens. Then the pandemic came and the lockdown drastically changed this vision. And as opposition to this lost intensity, I alternated some passages with a kind of inner intensity, as if then I was portraying the psyche of the city in meditation, like the secret life of a contemplative city. And it was because probably never before in history has isolation been experienced with such intensity. It was a very intense period personally for me. It is not a piece about the pandemic itself, but of course, I couldn't avoid the fact that we were living a unique time in history. And I think this was affecting the piece. So the piece is a kind of rondo, has these two perspectives of the same thing. On the one hand, this explosive, very spectacular sections, very loud, very fast. And on the other hand, these calm, expressive sections where I'm not losing the intensity, or this is my intention, of the previous sections, but reinforcing them somehow and making us aware we are what people see and we are what people doesn't. And the piece is showing this. It's showing the up scenario and the S scenario of the same thing.
We very much look forward to this premiere. Francisco Coy, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.